So we jump to chapter 11 today in our ongoing series of texts that are from John but are not in the narrative lectionary. Many of them aren't in the Revised Common Lectionary, so a lot of these texts we haven't dealt with in worship. Today is one of those texts, begins chapter 11, verse 45. Jesus has done it again. Now, what he's done, they don't specify, but if we put on our thinking caps, the 11th chapter of John tells of the raising of Lazarus. The story where Lazarus is ill, Jesus hangs out for a couple of days to make sure Lazarus is good and dead, so to the glory of God, Jesus might raise him. Many see this sign, the last and greatest of Jesus' signs in the Gospel of John, and like so many other stories we've heard this summer, there is division. Jesus' actions have caused division. There are those who see Lazarus come out of the tomb, take off his grave cloth, and be free. Many of them believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Lazarus was raised by the power of God at work in Jesus. But others are threatened. They do not understand Jesus for whom Jesus claims to be. And as we hear in our text in the very beginning, they plot to kill him. We need to remember that this is kind of the final straw that breaks the camel's back in the Gospel of John. The forces, the powers that be could put up with Jesus when he was merely healing people or giving people sight. But when Jesus starts to command even death, the ruling authorities are taking note. It's a climactic sign in this gospel. Some see it and believe, others see the same thing and they report him. They go get the authorities. Now, in the conversation we have after the authorities are brought in, we hear from Caiaphas, the high priest for that season. And he argues with the folks that it would be best to indeed kill this Jesus. Any others that line, do you not understand that it is best for one man to die for the sake of the nation? The council, led by Caiaphas, they fear that Jesus' growing popularity is going to provoke Rome. It's going to cost them not only their nation, as they still tenuously hold on to their history and their story, but also the temple. They fear that the Roman government will look at Jesus as one of their own, and all will suffer because of these actions. Caiaphas offers a very simple solution. Kill Jesus, and the problem will go away. The community will be safe. So there are some that give in to this, and the plot begins in earnest to kill Jesus. We know that Caiaphas' plan fails horribly. It fails on two counts. The first is killing Jesus didn't do a thing to satiate Rome's quest for power. History tells us that in 70 AD, the Roman soldiers destroyed the temple and wiped out that understanding of Judaism. They took over, they made their oppression even more grueling and unbearable. So killing Jesus didn't make that go away. And not so incidentally, we believe that the first hearers of the gospel would have known that. We believe that the Gospel of John was written after 70 AD. So those hearing this would have heard some dramatic irony. Caiaphas foresees the future without even knowing he does so. So killing Jesus doesn't stop Rome from being Rome, nor does it do what, or it does what Caiaphas doesn't expect, although he prophesies to it. Again, irony, he speaks the truth, perhaps unknowingly, but killing Jesus only fulfills God's plan for the Messiah. Jesus is raised again. And all that God had planned, all that God had hoped for in the ministry of Jesus is fulfilled by Jesus' obedience to suffer even to death on the cross. Killing Jesus doesn't save the temple, doesn't save the nation. Caiaphas utters more truth than he understands. And Jesus goes on, of course. We know of the entry into Jerusalem, the story of the Passion. That is well rehearsed throughout our different lectionaries. But Caiaphas' words, I think, ring out rather loud. Don't you understand? It is best for one man to die for the sake of the nation. We know, deep in our hearts, that removing a person that is identified as the problem never quite seems to fix things. It may quiet things for a while, but it never solves, it never heals. And Jesus shows this. After Jesus is raised from the dead, Jesus creates a new community. And he talks about those that are scattered. That is, those whom the authorities have deemed as undesirable, as other, as ritually impure or unholy. It is from these people that the prophecy as fulfilled. That's with whom Jesus builds the kingdom of God, from those that the kingdom of the world has ostracized and kicked out. Jesus builds a community in which belonging no longer depends on casting others out. The truth that we hear in the lesson, or at least in the response of God to Caiaphas' words, is that no community is healed by destroying the person or the people it has chosen as the problem. We see this in many different facets in our lives. Family systems theory, that is a therapeutic approach to working with families in therapy to understand how the system works, has come up with a term, the identified patient. Has anybody ever heard this? Usually, families function in a way that most agree that one person is the problem. If only this one person would change their ways, our family would be fully functional. Family systems theory says, hogwash. If you get rid of the person, usually whatever gave rise to that person acting out still exists within the system. And guess what? Someone else will become the identified patient. It's never the family's fault. It's always one person, or a couple sometimes, that is the issue. And if only we could excise them from the system, everything would be okay. Not true. It doesn't work that way. The only thing that does is it kicks the can down the road, and the family never needs to work on its own issues. We also see this understanding in a much less articulated way But having taught this past year and looking forward to going back this next year, I don't think I ever forgot, but I was reminded fully how awful a middle school cafeteria can be. It's kind of the same thing. We talk about bullying a lot, and yeah, there are some instances where one kid just needs to raise himself up on the totem pole or whatever and abuse someone else. But there's a wider understanding, I think, that maybe many of us knew about or were the target of in our own middle schools. The school would be great if we could just get rid of the ones that are different, the ones that are not normal, the ones that are the freaks. Then we could go on being the cool school. Again, the issue is, that don't work. And it is far from what God intends for healthy community. We hear it too in the areas of our community where we live. You know, the neighborhood would be better without those people. If we could just get rid of those people, everything would go back to the good old days when everybody had it good. Well, it wasn't good for everybody. That's not going to work. Finally, to hear as a nation, no community is healed by destroying the person or people it has chosen as its problem. We are hearing that on the news almost in a daily occurrence. And not to be too blunt, but the story goes, the nation would be safer if they were removed. The they, of course, being those who are different than us, usually by skin color and ethnicity, sometimes by gender or sexual orientation. They're the problem. And what we do by pointing to them as the problem is we ignore everything else that is more insidious, that is really at work in our nation, in our culture, in our communities. The church is called to resist Caiaphas's claim. It is better for one man or one group to suffer so the rest of us don't have to. Whether it's the middle school cafeteria or the most powerful nation on earth, that never works. Now, to be an opening or an open and inclusive community, one that brings in those who were scattered to welcome all, is a difficult thing to do. I would even say it goes against human nature. And that's Jesus' point, by and large, with this gospel story. Human nature, broken, fallen, sinful human nature, cannot be trusted. That's the gospel message. Jesus comes to show another way. Remember last week we talked about Jesus is as Jesus does, the Messiah is as the Messiah does. Jesus presents a God whose ways are different. God's nature is the one through whom we can make an inclusive community, an inclusive society. Again, it's hard work. Caiaphas's way was the easy way out. Just kill him. Don't deal with him, just kill him. It requires us to do the hard work of distinguishing between, for instance, difference and danger, right? Someone unfamiliar or unlike us does not mean they pose a threat.
But how many times do you hear that? They're different. That's bad. It need not be. Difference can be celebrated. It does not need to be seen as danger. We need to distinguish between discomfort and harm. I can honestly say there are certain types of people I don't feel very comfortable around. But at the same time, I need to remember that their difference that causes me discomfort really isn't causing me harm. Feeling unsettled is not the same as being injured or abused. And again, how often do we hear that? That victim mentality. Oh, those people that are different. They're getting attention. They're getting some of our power. We are the victim. We have to distinguish between disagreement and enmity, right? Conflict, that is disagreement, does not require us to treat the other person as the enemy. We can have a conversation. We can have a healthy disagreement. That does not mean that we are at loggerheads in everything. Right? And it definitely doesn't mean the person I disagree with is less than the beloved child that God has created them to be. We dehumanize the opponents so often. And finally, this is where it gets even more difficult, right? Establishing boundaries. And communities have to do that from time to time. Establish boundaries for the health and the well-being of the group as a whole doesn't mean banishing someone. Limits can protect a community without declaring someone worthless or beyond belonging. Back to the identified patient in a family system. Yeah, sometimes the identified patient is addicted. And sometimes boundaries need to be set for the sake of the whole. But God would ask us to continue to see those who suffer that disease as still a beloved child of God. You can see how difficult it is when laid out in bare terms to build a truly inclusive and welcoming community that doesn't rely on Caiaphas's plans. If you just nip that at the bud, everything's going to be okay. That doesn't work. So Jesus does indeed suffer death and die, but is raised and begins to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. And it's not a community without anxiety. We know that in the church. It is, however, a community that refuses to turn that anxiety into exclusion. To take what we must wrestle with as fallen human beings and place that on someone else's head so we can feel better about ourselves. We cast out people because we believe that their differences threaten our belonging. But the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that Jesus gathers a community from the scattered. Jesus gathers a community that includes us. And Jesus gives us a new sense of belonging. That we are indeed children of God. Members of the church, the body of Christ. And that identity is who we are as baptized children of God is stronger, more eternal than any other identity that we may claim. Jesus gathers us into a community where our belonging is secure enough for differences to remain and at the end to be unthreatening. So Caiaphas raises his voice and says what so many of us think. It's better for the one to suffer than the whole. But Jesus offers a deeper peace. a sense of community in which no one must disappear for all of us to belong.